Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. We're looking to provide an ongoing conversation about biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisinger. This is our 12th episode, and today we're going to do a little bit different format. Dave and I are going to be talking about a new emerging alliance of kingdom-minded people. Whether you're with us live or listening to the podcast replay here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. So, Dave, what do you think about this topic of a new kingdom alliance that seems to be emerging?
Well, this is what grabs me. Let me tell just a little story as an answer to that question, Don. We like stories, don't we?
I love stories. I think that's how we have to communicate.
So this is what jumps out at me. I'm on a number of different boards. One of the boards I'm on is Alpha Twin Cities, right? The Alpha Course in the Twin Cities. And boy, it's really the Alpha Course is really the most effective evangelistic tool that I've ever been involved in. And I was involved in EE, but this tool blows EE's results out of the water, because it does more than just invites people into the kingdom. It gets them situated in a community and gives them a real foundation. In the Twin Cities, the Alpha Course has brought 15,000 people to Christ in the Twin Cities last year. Now I don't know anything else that does that, right? In a year's time.
Yeah, and that's huge.
Yeah, and that's about 200 churches holding the course, and so that's a lot of events. It's a lot of people going through the Alpha Course. It's very effective, very powerful. But the Alpha as an organization did something in the last year that I think is going to be part of the revival in the United States. And it has to do with the question you asked about what is a Seven Mountain Alliance. What does that mean? So here's what Alpha did. Alpha changed their format. They didn't change the content. It's still a 10-week series with a retreat in the middle, right? 10-week course with a retreat. But now you can access it for free online. Anybody can access it for free online. You can download all written materials for free. And they have different kinds of presentations. They have Nikki Gumbel still talking. you can watch the old ones, which last 45 minutes. You can watch the new ones where he does it for a little between 20 and 30 minutes. It's a short thing. And they've done something called the Alpha Film Series, where they've put the whole talk into a whole production. So each week is a whole teaching production with interviews and on-the-street interviews and stories and illustrations and Nikki talking as well. And it's something you can do in 20 minutes, and you can do it over lunch. You could do it in a restaurant with someone you're mentoring. They have one designed just for teenagers that you can do in a small group Bible study. It works well with something like Young Life. You could do it with your neighbors. You don't have to invite them in and have this big, long 45-minute listen to a video. You can go to your neighbor's house and pull it up and watch it in 20 minutes and just discuss it once a week. So Alpha has realized that we need to mobilize the church and not just bring people into our buildings, but we need to send people out into the marketplace. And so they've designed their course to be able to be sent out into the marketplace. And in the Twin Cities, I'm on the Alpha board, we are looking for ways to mobilize the church. And what we're finding is that that the church, this is new. For so many years, the church has been saying, it's about us. Come and you serve Jesus here. You serve Jesus when you drive the bus for the Sunday school, or that you take a turn in the nursery, or that you serve on office bearer as a deacon or an elder, or you or a teacher, or you start an organization, or you wash the windows, or you vacuum the carpets, or whatever. That's how you serve Jesus, or you come on Sunday. And we've given that message for 100 years. And Alpha is finding that the church is hungry and chomping at the bit to get out the door, because our world is falling apart. What we thought was stable and moral is now becoming unstable and dangerous and immoral. And the church is saying, we need to be out of our building to make a difference in our community. So Alpha caught on to that, and they designed themselves to be sent out and to be accessible anywhere in any place. In the Alpha meeting, we were talking about, now, how do we get the church ready? We're finding that pastors aren't quite there yet. Pastors don't quite get it. But people are hungry, right? So slowly, I think the story I'm telling you is this. His name is Tony Vietti. He is holds a job at a local industry here that has 7,500 employees, a national chain housed right here in the Twin Cities. He gets invited a year ago to hold a Bible study in his office. And he holds a Bible study. All of a sudden, this thing explodes, and now there's 300 people of the 7,500 every week in a Bible study. So he sends an email out a few weeks ago and to the 7,500 employees, and he says, how many of you would be interested in doing a lunchtime Alpha course, perhaps in your department or in your building or on your floor, or however he worded it? And 750 people responded and said, yes, we would like to do that, and we're interested in doing that. And so now, starting at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, he is he's raising up leaders to begin doing an Alpha course in this national chain with hundreds of people. 750 people responded. Maybe there'll be 500 that do it. Maybe there'll be 1,000. But there will be hundreds, if not 1,000 people, of the 7,500 doing an Alpha course every week on their floor, in their office, at their cubicle, at the coffee shop, during 1 hour a week. And their organization sees it as a valuable tool and is going to allow it to happen during work hours. Now that is breakthrough, right? Why did that happen? Well, one guy named Tony said, you know what, I'm going to bring church out of the building and into the marketplace. And I'm just going to be faithful, and I'm just going to do what happens next. And that's all he did. He just did what happened next. And he prayed about it. He got some others praying about it. And now what's happening next is a tenth of his workforce is going to be engaging in the Alpha Course that is tailor-made and ready for an alliance of the church to walk out the door. So, how do you like that story?
I love that story. What I'm thinking as I hear you describe what's going down there with Tony and with his company, is, you know, I've seen some stats from Barna Research Group.
Okay.
That talks about particularly millennials, who people badmouth millennials. But the Barna research is showing that millennials are, as a group, very service oriented. They want to see an intersect of faith with practical action. And
that makes so much sense, yes.
They talk about the millennials that they interviewed, that they surveyed, a large percentage of them were disconnected from the institutional church because, for the very reason that they did not sense a practical overlap with what they did during the week. They had gone a year or better without hearing anything from the platform about how their faith and how the Bible practically impacted them in their chosen field.
Wow.
And this sounds like something that is establishing, well, there's a term that's getting thrown around a little bit, the term microchurches. This sounds like something that is establishing circles of people, little faith communities, that are rising up in the context of the marketplace.
Hungry people.
Yeah.
And the astounding thing is people willing to be identified as a God seeker, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing today, Chuck? Well, I'm going to this gathering of guys. We're watching this series called The Alpha Course. And really, what's it about? Well, we're learning about Christianity. Really? You're interested in that? Yeah, I'm finding out a lot about it. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm learning about it. It's very intriguing. Really? Can you hear the conversations?
Yeah.
Can you hear the hundreds of conversations? Now those people are heroes, right? So I'd like to just present that an alliance of people willing to step into the marketplace is really the movement of a new kind of hero in the church. The old hero was the Sunday school teacher or the person who led in worship or sang on the worship team or the pastor. The hero that, you know, did the programmatic thing. The new hero is the guy who gets out of his chair, goes into a cubicle with three or four other guys and a woman, and they sit down, they watch a teaching, and they discuss it, and he goes back to his desk, and the light of Christ radiates from him because he's held accountable to be the Christian that he really says that he is, or that he wants to be, or that he's seeking to be.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Yeah. I don't place a lot of a lot of value as a rule on the content of internet memes. You know, those pictures with words on them that arrive like in your inbox or on your Facebook page or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of look at the picture and then, do I want to read this? Yeah.
Yeah. But there was one that came up in my timeline probably about 3 weeks ago, something like that, that I marked, and I thought I'd throw it out here and see what you think in the context of what you've just been talking about. And it had a picture of Jesus sitting in the marketplace. And the meme said, "Be like Jesus. Spend enough time with sinners to ruin your reputation with religious people."
That's really good. Don, you and I have been talking about helping this movement just to have some validity. And we've come up with an idea of giving validity to the hundreds and thousands of Christians stepping into the marketplace to be like Jesus, to hang out with sinners. And we're calling it a Seven Mountain Alliance.
Right.
Tell me why the word alliance. What do we mean when we say the word alliance?
Well, you know, I think I think in order to do that, we need to start with the Seven Mountain thing.
Okay. That's fair. So let's define it for us.
Yeah. Well, the Seven Mountain thing for me really started, the Seven Mountain understanding for me really started back in 2000.
Okay.
And I had been invited to be a participant in and a team intercessor for a conference. It was an international congress on prayer evangelism and on evangelizing with concerted prayer as the leadership and the lead-in for a movement in any given city.
Okay.
And this Congress was being held in Buenos Aires, Argentina. There were over 4,000 people from all over the planet.
Yeah, just
there for the Congress. It was amazing. And there were about 60 of us that were there specifically as intercessors, as part of the overall intercessory team for the Congress.
Okay.
While I was there, in one of the first big plenary sessions, you know, there were people, including Ed Silvoso, who were talking about the impact of the kingdom of God in the marketplace. And they were talking about the marketplace as anything other than the institutional church. And defining it as there are these basically seven areas that are the inroads to the heart and mind of culture. And as they went on, you know, they're talking about the church, obviously, but mm-hmm. then there's family, there's education, there is business, science, technology, government and law,
yep.
arts, entertainment, sports is yep. one. The media.
Yep. The church.
And and the faith community, the church, the faith community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that each of these has its own set of principles. Each of these has its own path into influencing the heart and mind and shaping the direction of a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of their discussion was that the church has been terrible at engaging in anything but the church and maybe to a degree the family level. And in a lot of cases, the degree to which the church has been involved in education has been to set up specifically Christian schools. As I sat there listening to this, as a person who became a Christian through the Jesus movement here in the United States, and was early on discipled through the influence of Francis Schaeffer and the LaBrie movement, and then went on and spent time at Calvin, finally landing in the CRC.
In the Christian Reformed
denomination here in the States.
It's a conservative, reformed, theologically reformed, smaller denomination. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Based originally out of a group of immigrants to the United States, Dutch and Fries immigrants to the United States from the Netherlands.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. As I sat there listening to what these guys were saying, my first reaction was, oh my goodness, these people who are predominantly charismatic, the majority of them at this Congress were from charismatic and Pentecostal backgrounds. Oh my goodness, these charismatic people have discovered Kuyper, who was a main thinker in the Dutch Reformed movement, and had written 125 years ago about seven spheres that form and shape culture, and had written about these specific areas. As I looked more into the Seven Mountain Movement, it became apparent that Kuyper's thought had been influential on this. It had been influential on Francis Schaeffer as he spoke and wrote in the 70s and later. It had been influential on Bill Bright,
yep,
who had been educated at, I think it was Princeton originally.
I don't know, yep.
But had come out of Presbyterianism, and it was really part and parcel of the theological fabric, the understanding of how the kingdom interplays with culture throughout evangelicalism. So here in the 1970s already, there are three streams. There is Lauren Cunningham from Youth with a Mission, who was the primary speaker to youth in the charismatic circles globally. There was Bill Bright, who was the primary speaker to youth in evangelical circles on college campuses. And it was Francis Schaeffer, who was a global voice to youth and the counterculture, speaking from a reform perspective and really impacting people in the reform circles. So you have charismatic, evangelical, and reformed leaders all seeing the import and articulating the import of this vision for approaching culture through these seven channels, and the importance of not neglecting any of those channels. Fast forward to the late 90s, early 2000s, that message got picked up by a charismatic speaker named Lance Wallnau, who was doing a lot of work in consulting in the business realm, and started to articulate it as seven mountains. You know, these other people had called it spheres or pillars or kingdoms. You know, the language that's attached to it is irrelevant. You know, what it is a model for understanding how society is structured and how it grows naturally. So the seven mountain message is that God really has this annoying habit of refusing to stay in his assigned box. He wants to and fully intends to renew mankind through the gospel in every structure of society, in every aspect of society, of human interaction. He wants to be Lord over every human interaction. So,
we
respond to that piece, or fill out a little bit more on that piece.
Very good. That's such a good characterization. Not just that he wants to be, but that he is Lord, right?
Yes.
And he wants to be. It's 11 o'clock and my computer tells us. It makes me laugh every time.
Computer in the background.
the wanting, the passion as Lord. Here's what happened to you. If I can interpret, you saw in I forgot what country. What country was that conference in?
Argentina.
Yeah. You saw people passionate about a global movement of God and breaking down walls, and that God is bigger than just one church or one style, and that he wants to mobilize everyday people, right? And, man, it just grabbed hold of you. And that is just so consistent with Jesus grabbing hold of 12 no-name teenagers, right, and a tax collector, and spending time with them and then mobilizing them, right, and sending them out. That is like God. He sees our potential and our beauty, and he looks at us and says, "Wow, boy, did I do a good job creating that person." No matter what we look like, because we reflect his beauty and his majesty. And so he is ready. And he says in Matthew 10, I think it is, that the harvest is white, right? It's ready. And he's looking to send out the workers. And he doesn't mean go out and just do evangelism. He's saying he is Lord over the harvest. Now it is time for us to go out there and just be and bring in, just by being, engaging, living, touching, moving, feeling. Be praying people. Be people who believe in the power of the movement of God. Be people who believe in the Lordship, that he is Lord at our work. And because he is Lord, he has prepared for us, people around us, who he wants us just to love and to touch. Because he is Lord, he's connecting us with other organizations and businesses and buyers and sellers and teachers and principals and parents and whatever sphere we're in, whatever mountain we're on, he is Lord over it all, and he wants to connect the whole world to his people because he's Lord. And therefore, we need to be ready. We need to understand and have our eyes open that our Lord wants to connect people to us for the transformation of our globe, because that is his heart. That is his desire. He would that all men and women be saved. So here's another story. This is a mom that goes to Bridgewood Church. Her daughter comes home from college. Her daughter came home a little different after her freshman year. She came back with an appreciation for her parents, which that was cool, right? That sometimes happens when kids go away to college and they come back. They go, oh, my parents aren't total losers. Although mine, well, that's a different story. But her daughter came back and she says to her mom, Mom, I really would like my friends here back at home here to know what it means to be a Christian. And I really haven't talked to them about it. And I know that some of them aren't Christians, and it hurts me that if I were to die, that they wouldn't go to heaven. And I want them to have what I have, which just about dropped the mom to the floor in amazement. And she said, well, how can I help? And the daughter said, what if I invited them over? Could you sit with us? And could you tell us what it means to be a Christian? And so they worked it out together. And so now the mom is going to do a Bible study over a period of like 8 weeks before the end of the summer, and has started it already with her daughter and her daughter's friends, none of whom are church-going girls. Remarkable. My memory serves me right. There are six friends besides the daughter that are going to be doing this. Now, what was that? That's the millennial generation you were talking about. That's saying, you know what? There's more than all this junk that I just experienced at college. My friends know that too. And I'm not afraid to identify and to ally with others like this. I'm going to increase my sphere. I'm going to bring the Lordship of Jesus Christ into my sphere. And so she invited her friends into her home for her mother just to talk about Jesus. Whoa! That's what that means. That's somebody allying themselves with Jesus and with those that belong to him and saying, it's not weird, it's not crazy. I'm even going to take a risk and let my friends be introduced to the most important relationship that I have. So really, what we're looking at is in every sphere that we have relationships, in our school sphere, like this young girl, in our work sphere, in our relationship, if we have influence in any way in the entertainment sports industry, if we have relationship in the media, if we have relationship in government and law, if we have relationship within the faith body, or as a family in neighborhood and relationship with the influence of family. If whatever sphere that we have influence, are we willing to admit and identify that we are believers in the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Two, are we willing to allow the Lordship of Christ to affect how we live? Three, And are we willing to seek to advance God's kingdom in our sphere? And if we can ally, if we can say yes to those things, then we can be part of a movement that is happening. It is happening all over the marketplace, all over the world around us. And we will not be alone. And we can encourage each other, hold each other up, walk alongside each other, and celebrate what God does in our lives.
I think what you're talking about, too, speaks to the heart of a phenomenon that we're seeing, not just among millennials, but with people across the culture, who are sensing a rumbling, a deep disquiet and a deep tectonic collision in our world.
Yeah, talk between, about that.
Between two not even ideologies, but two spirits.
Yes. Are you talking about a clash, a conflict between the two?
Yes. Yes. And when they come together, when they meet head on, when they meet head on, there is tremendous power that's building up, tremendous force that's building up at the point of conflict, at the point of contention between these two worlds. And it's not simply a conflict between conservative and liberal, or conservative and progressive, or rich and poor, or race. It goes deeper than that. And what is being perceived by more and more people is that the old structures, even within the faith community, the old structures are not sufficient to address this. They're not even sufficient to provide a grid for understanding and talking about it. And the message of the kingdom that the New Testament talks about provides a grid, provides a framework for understanding it. If we let Scripture speak to us as a whole, and we don't try and cram it into our particular ideological framework, if we let Scripture be alive and inform us rather than trying to make it fit a form that we've predetermined, it has an entirely different effect. You know, Jesus' message, well, John's message to start with, John's message of the coming of the kingdom of God was repent, be completely transformed, metanoia. You know, turn around, change direction, because the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, it's coming and it's here. It's right there where you can see it. And he added to that statement, the axe is already laid to the tree. The current unfruitful structure is coming down. You can see it coming down. The people in Jesus' time that he and John were speaking to had a choice between compromising with Rome or fighting for independence. they could adopt the Greco-Roman culture and the paganism that was integral to that, or they could hold to their own set of conservative theological and social values and regulations and stay separate and pure. There were groups in their society that advocated withdrawing to the desert and starting a separate community. There was another group that was basically a group of revolutionaries who were engaged in little targeted acts of revolution and what the Romans would consider terrorism. There were influences from all of these parties in the people that Jesus was ministering to. And yet there was a message of the kingdom that stood apart completely. Jesus, when he talked about this kingdom of God being at hand, he defined it in a very specific way. His very first sermon was out of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captive, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And when he said the year of God's favor, they knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about the coming of the Jubilee, which was very political. It was very economic in nature. It shifted the direction of the culture. But when he defined it that way, he went on to say, you know, this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. I'm here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jubilee isn't now a once every 50 years thing. Jubilee is to inform every aspect day to day. And I'll tell you something else, it's also for the Gentiles. And his listeners freaked. They wanted to throw him off a hill. The message of the kingdom pointed to something that was radically other than anything they had heard and anything that was in practice at the time. It was a two-edged sword that cut prophetically in judgment in both directions and spoke hope to the most hopeless people in among the hearers. And as the kingdom of God, as the gospel of the kingdom of God played out in the following years across the Eastern Empire,
mm-hmm.
It came to be seen as a message that turned the world upside down. That's the language that the people used for it.
Wow.
That the secular world used for it. That was their criticism. You know, they heard that Paul was coming, and they started getting really nervous. They said, hey, these men that turned the world upside down, they're coming.
Mm.
One of the things we need to understand, I think, came through with new clarity on our last call with Tim Cosby. In that conversation, he focused on coaching as a different way of leading and communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And you discussed the fact that the leadership model and style used in most situations, regardless of context, still has a major command and control character about it.
Yes.
And the alternative to that is equipping and releasing. And when we were talking with Tim Vink, he said a very similar thing in terms of raising up leadership and a model for leadership training, that it mm-hmm. had to be in a practical mentoring capacity, a coaching capacity that was hands-on. This training and release aspect is I think part and parcel of this emerging alliance that we're talking about. It's an alliance that cuts across denominational boundaries. You know, it doesn't matter if you're charismatic. It doesn't matter if you're evangelical. It doesn't matter if you're in the reform stream in terms of some of the theological distinctives, the denominational theological distinctives. There is an emerging kingdom consciousness that defines how we move in culture.
Yes.
And a seven mountain alliance has the potential for bridging those types of divides that have up to this point divided people within the evangelical, charismatic, and reformed streams, and even in the Roman Catholic the Roman Catholic stream, Orthodox stream. I have friends who are Eastern Orthodox. I have some friends who are Roman Catholic, and we can talk on this basis about a common kingdom purpose. We can ally with one another for a common kingdom purpose. And I think there's immense power in this message of the kingdom of God as something radically other that's emerging. If we're willing to take our to train, release, and take our hands off it and let it develop in the very spheres, kind of open sourcing it, rather than having a command control. I like the idea of an alliance rather than the idea of we're going to build another organization. I'm not interested in building another organization. I am interested in fostering a movement.
Our hope is that, and we don't, it's not just a hope, our belief is that people are willing and ready to ally themselves in the marketplace with mm-hmm. other Christians.
Yes.
And we've identified three pieces to it. One, can you ally yourself as a believer in Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just say, I believe, I am one of his children, I believe that I'm a sinner saved by the grace that is shown by the Savior Jesus Christ laying down his life for me. And I ally myself as a Christian. Second, therefore, the first is an identity. So I identify as a Christian. Second is character. Can I ally myself with other believers in Jesus who choose to live with the character of a Christian, to radiate the image of God and his love and his goodness and his grace, his justice? Can I live and ally myself with other Christians who not only have the identity of Christ but bear his character through the power of the Holy Spirit? And third, can I ally myself with other people who have the identity with Christ to bear his character? And can I choose to advance God's kingdom in my sphere? And I say yes. Wherever that comes to me, wherever God brings that before me, I will seek to advance God's kingdom. Three pieces. That means they're not theologically diverse. Anybody who's a Christian can ally themselves with these three things. And it's just being Jesus out in the marketplace and setting up a chance to say, yes, I am in alliance with others just like me.
Yes, yes. Even in, you know, even to the point of others like me, you know, other engineers like me, if I'm an engineer.
Yes.
Other educators like me, if I'm a teacher.
Yes.
And looking at ways within my sphere of how to excellently, Christianly, do education.
Yes.
You know, what kind of influence does my faith perspective have on how I do mathematics?
Yes.
You know, what kind of vision for my particular enterprise emerges from the Lordship of Jesus Christ?
Yep.
There's incredible potential there for unlocking the way God has designed his creation to unfold.
Yes.
And some people say, you know, well, this is all well and good, but I'm not a leader. I'm not a person of influence. But nothing could be further from the truth. We have some folks who listen to this, and some folks I've talked to about this say, you know, I'm just a guy that goes to work, or I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I don't have a circle of influence. The truth of the matter is, unless you live alone in a cave or cabin somewhere, cut off from human contact and communication, you have a sphere of influence.
Yes.
You influence people every day in countless subtle and overt ways.
Yep.
Every human contact, every interaction has some form of influence, whether it's intentional or not.
Yep.
And what we need to do is to become intentional about how our influence plays out.
Yep.
You know, I was reading, I read nerdy stuff. I was reading a random piece the other day that pointed out that the human brain processes somewhere in the range of 11 million discrete bits of information every second. That's 1.3 gigabytes in human or in computer memory per second.
Wow.
Most of the influence exerted on us flies right past our conscious mind and our conscious filters. And most of the influence we exert on others does the same. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't register. So every interaction is significant. We have a calling to be aware, to be intentional. We're all leaders and influencers. Our choice is how we're going to lead and how we're going to influence.
I think Don, I think it is time for us to just allow people to hang with what we've given them so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is time to just go away and then come back. And let's process. I just want to challenge every listener. Did God, with this challenge, did God create you to be a Christian on Sundays alone or when you're home or in comfortable environments? Or did God call you, and is he Lord over every part of your life? Is he Lord over your sphere of influence? Is he Lord over your neighborhood, your friend group? Do you go fishing? And any lake that you go fishing on is a sphere of influence. Is Jesus Christ Lord over that sphere? So I just would like to challenge every listener. How is Christ Lord? And wouldn't you like to not be alone in your sphere? Wouldn't you like to ally with others just like you? And wouldn't you like to see the movement that you hear the super Christians do? Wouldn't you like to see God move you and around you and in your friends? Wouldn't you love for your friends, your relationships, your boss, your fellow engineers, wouldn't you love for them to be in the kingdom of heaven? Or to even be touched by it? Or to even be filled with hope for the first time in their lives? Or to even just to be able to sit in the presence of somebody filled with the Holy Spirit? So, that's the challenge. Next time we meet, we'll talk about how to become part of an alliance. And what that means, it's simple, it's easy, and how you too can sign up to be an ally with other believers out in the marketplace.
Okay. For now, we're going to sign off. I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Heisinger.
God bless you.
Yep.
Pray through these things. We want you to have a great week and a blessed life.
Yes.
This has been Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. You can catch up on all of our past episodes at Street Faith, our podcast site, found at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. Be sure to like, connect, and follow us, and share our podcast with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have Dave Heisinger or myself as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. That's empowermentfriends@gmail.com. You've been listening to Marketplace Kingdom, Episode 12, on an emerging Seven Mountain Alliance. Marketplace Kingdom and the Street Faith Podcast Channel are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media and are made available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2016 Creative Commons copyright. Thank you for listening. We hope you've been encouraged. And finally, remember, you are important and you can make a difference for God's kingdom right where you are.